We are Vineyard.
Somos Viña.
We are Vineyard.
I would try to do the admin stuff and take care of his phone calls, his emails, and all that stuff, those details. But then he would pull me into his office and give me books.
Yeah.
Webb's book, Rich's book on the rat.
Well, he realizes, you're like a learner. I can work with this.
And I gained theology about women in ministry within the first 6 months of being in that role. And then I'll never forget, like 3 months later, he said, "You are blessing our church with worship." And I said, "I don't even know what I'm doing." He said, "I'm telling you, people are talking about how much they're blessed by you."
Wow.
"So I'm going to pay and send you to a Vineyard worship event out of my VLI budget."
Great.
And I got more involved in the worship of the Vineyard.
Wow.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. On today's episode, we have the second part of the conversation between Jay and Annabeth Morgan, worship leader, songwriter, and a staff pastor at the Arvada Vineyard, as well as the interim lead for equipping and leadership at Vineyard Worship. Let's listen in.
So now you're in Kansas City. You got to go to church.
One of my coworkers heard me sharing my faith with a girl, and she said, "Do you go to church somewhere?" And I said, "Not yet." And she said, "You should come to my church." And so thus began the journey of Vineyard for me.
So when you roll in, it's totally different.
Oh, it's great.
In what way?
You know that weird story people tell where they walk into a church and they immediately start crying because they feel a thing? That was definitely my story.
Yeah.
And because I'm a feeler, it felt like release. Like these feelings you have reading the scripture, you don't feel at church. And then even like the feelings you have that you just hide because you feel weird to feel so much it was like, I knew like, you can share these things. You're going to be able to tell people when you walk into a room and feel something and they're going to have context for it. I know that sounds weird and maybe I'm over-realizing because I'm on this side, but that was all the emotion hitting me. You're home, you're accepted here.
This is real.
And it's tangible. Yeah. There's a presence here that's tangible that you feel when you're alone in your room that you don't tell anybody else about. You
know? And of course, it's a different whole deal. I mean, if they're like playing with a full band and there's a...
Well, the sound coming out of the sanctuary, I was like, "Hurry up, Kyle. I don't care about coffee. There's music in there that sounds good."
Right.
But I didn't do music, right?
No.
But I loved the way it sounded.
Yeah.
And it was, I loved how the choir sounded, dude. I just have always loved worship.
Right.
I mean, we'll do this really quick. You know the food you're afraid to tell people you like to eat because it's shame-filled? Like maybe it's like, "I like cottage cheese."
Yeah.
You know? People are like, "That's disgusting." The thing I was afraid to tell people, like I liked Sandy Patty. My mom made me listen to that. Now, I don't want to listen to it now. But I just loved music and worship music always hit me in deep places. I cried early on in worship.
Yeah.
But then on that day, at the end of that day, Kyle was like, "I can't tell if your tears are happy or sad. So maybe we shouldn't go back to that church." You cried the entire time.
Wow.
And maybe a little like, "You looked unhinged, honey."
What was that?
And I didn't know what it was.
Right.
But I told him I loved it and I wanted to go back.
Yeah, and I imagine preaching's different. I mean, the whole thing's different.
They
make time. They're going to pray in ways you've not heard.
Well, the good news was it was helpful that that church wasn't as expressive. They actually didn't have open ministry time. That would have freaked me out.
Or maybe not. Who knows, right?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's no way to know. I mean, everything's so new.
That's true.
Like, who knows? Okay.
Okay.
So then you keep going.
Fair.
And then what's the turn toward?
Worship.
Worship, yeah.
Amy.
Yeah.
That's who we knew. So we would just go in. We don't have children, right, at this point. So we just go in and stand with Amy. Amy's husband still had no faith. So it was just her too. So we were kind of a gift to her. And I would just sing along with the songs with 400 other people.
Right.
And then one day she was like, "Hey, do you sing?" And I was like, "No. I mean, I like it, but no, I don't sing." "Are you sure? Because when I stand by you at church, I just don't even want to sing. I want to listen to you sing." And I was like, "Oh, that's sweet." And I said, "No, I don't sing."
You're just nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then within like, I don't know, 2 months, she went to the worship pastor and was like, "Listen, I've tried. My friend is like adamant that she doesn't sing, but I am telling you she does." And so he, being a sweet person, I'll never forget the voicemail on my phone, the little Nokia phone. hey, this is Kurt Bartlett from North Kansas City Vineyard. I'm calling because someone has told us that they think you'd be a good addition to the worship team. I'd like to invite you to come on a Wednesday night, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And so that's how.
Was that encouraging or was that terrifying?
Oh, I was ticked. It was terrifying.
Right.
It was.
Like, what are you doing?
I literally got so mad. So I didn't go. And then you would go to church and then she's like, so much overfunctioning. This is not how you want worship ministry to go.
It's affectionate. It's like it she likes you.
It is.
She's like, I think this would be good for you.
It is.
Right.
And she would say now, because I still am friends with her, she would say, I think I was motivated by the Lord.
Yeah.
So, okay. But.
Okay. So then you finally show up one day.
I do.
Sing. Just
harmonies.
Like but just like in an empty room first?
Like, it
just,
was like a Wednesday night rehearsal space. They did their rehearsals
like, hey,
in
go
the
up
empty
here,
sanctuary.
Stand next to that mic.
There was a woman named Beth up there who was like their oldest worship team member. Oh. And she was like, it was like what we do. She literally was like, okay, it's your turn. You can now sing in my mic. And there was floor wedges. There was,
right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm old. And then we, I sang the song and I thought, that's terrible. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just...
Well, because I was going to say, do you have enough music in your mind or in your training to even know what a harmony is?
Yeah, because my mom and I would joke around and do competitions in the car, like who can sing the highest note, who can sing the lowest note. Because I...
So your ears work. I know what it sounds like.
And then she
I know
would,
what it's supposed to sound
she
like.
She would hum a note and then say, do you hear anything else? And then I would... And she would say, that's a harmony. But we never... Those were just games in the car.
Yeah.
Not like so
but
now.
But it is natural gifting then. Like I have some of, because there's plenty of people that can't hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
Number one.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
Then there's people that can hear it and they can't execute it. Mm. And there's people who can execute, but they can't quite tell what they're even doing. Like you have to be like, no, that's not this,
yeah.
That's this. You're in the wrong octave. You're technically okay, but you're doing the wrong thing. So you have both things just sort of working.
Yeah, just minimally the information, though. I wouldn't be able to say, oh, that's the third and the fifth.
No, but you just felt it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, so then you start doing that, and they're like, oh.
Well, what ended up happening was that Beth woman, the reason I mentioned her name is she was so generous, she went to Kurt and was like, we have a full worship team, but this young girl has something in her. So I've been doing this for a long time. She made space for me.
So she said, just take a spot.
She literally said, I love being on the worship team. I'm old enough now. It's time for me to allow somebody else to have my spot. Can we just pause here?
I was going to say.
Do you know how many people do that? They go, I'm old enough to now release and bless. Not, don't you give my spot away.
I'm trying to think of any other time I've heard that. I've maybe twice.
Sweet Beth did it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So next thing you know, you're on a schedule. You
once
have to
a
go
month.
To a rehearsal. And this is all like just brand new. It would be like the difference between like, yeah, I've played pickup basketball with some friends and now I'm on a team mm-hmm. and there's like a, mm-hmm.
There's like a rehearsal.
Stuff to do and I have to wear like a jersey. I would be like, I don't.
You they know. Give me CDs and go listen to these in your car so you know the songs.
This is amazing. Uh-huh. Okay. So now you're doing that.
Yeah, but I would puke in the bathroom before.
You're just terrified.
Terrified.
So it's not like joy filled.
No, but it was, I like a challenge. And,
right.
And you know that thing. And you're like, how do I say this? I know I'm supposed to do this.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know anything about spiritual warfare, but there's a weird resistance to this because it's the thing I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes.
I don't know.
I do know that.
That's what I would describe that in that moment. That's what motivated me. Because you don't do things that terrify you. You usually mm-hmm. just go, no.
And so... There's somebody listening to us right now. They're like, I sing pretty well. People mm-hmm. tell me I sing really well. Mm-hmm. I'm not like spiritual enough or mm-mm. interesting enough. I'm not even sure how I think church works right mm-hmm. now. What made you just kind of keep doing it? I'm throwing up in the bathroom. I'm not getting paid to do this. Like, what am I doing? Like, what would you say to that person and go, yeah, come on, take a step, try a thing.
Yeah. I would say it was definitely all the things outside of the Sunday. It would be like, hey, take a step. Why don't you listen to worship and engage it in your car? And then when you feel the Lord in the car with you and you become undone in the songs you're singing.
Yeah.
Or you just all of a sudden you're like, I'm not puking in this car and I'm singing so strong. You just, if you have ears, you know, I'm singing in tune and it's really good. Like you just have moments like that. And the Lord comes and he's like, this pleases me when you do this.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay. And then you show up Sunday and you're like, all of a sudden I'm anxious and I'm puking and I think I'm bad at it. And you're like, but I didn't feel that multiple times on Sunday or multiple times Monday through Saturday, you know? And so if it was just a Sunday thing, I wouldn't have made it.
So how does it go from I'm a volunteer helping out to maybe this is like a thing I'm supposed to do?
Yeah. So Kyle was in med school and I was working at the therapy clinic and just in the prelims of school. And because anyway, it doesn't matter. It's too much detail. And so he came home from church and we were just starting to really feel like the Lord speaks and you can pay attention to like, not just the scripture. You can pay attention to when you're praying, impressions and pictures and all the things Vineyard would just know now. And he came home and he said, I've been praying for you today while I was just walking around campus. And I saw this picture of this bird with its wings all tied up. And this thing came and just unclipped the wings so it could fly. And you were the bird. And I'm like, I know what that is. Mm. And he was like, oh. And I'm like, every time I go to the physical therapy, the Rockhurst, I just feel bound up. I am really good at school. Like, I love going to school. Right. I am nerdy.
It wasn't like you were failing.
No, right. I just felt bound up. And and I had said earlier that day, like, why do I feel so bound up? And then I went straight to my story. Like, you don't get an option. Your family will be mad at you if you don't get this degree. And then I even placed it on Kyle. I was like, your husband will not give you permission. I still had all of that old school Baptist girl stuff. Your husband's not going to give you permission to change direct. I mean, that's a big direction change. Like, you're going to have a steady career and then all of a sudden you're going to do ministry. And I wasn't saying be a pastor. I still didn't have the theology about women. It was just, I'm going to serve the church.
Yeah, do music.
Well, not even that, Jay. It was like, I'm going to work full time at the physical therapy clinic. And then I'm going to volunteer all the time at the church.
Yeah.
For free.
And you didn't even know what or how or
no,
why.
But I knew I was going to lead worship. And my good friend Steve Jones was like, I'm starting a college ministry and I need somebody to help sing. And you sing so pretty. Will you sing with me? Mm. I didn't play guitar.
Right.
He just had me serve as a leader singing in the, and there was like 10 people and it grew really quickly. And so I just, we got to, you just start doing the next thing. It's too much to describe. You just start doing the next thing that, that, and it all revolved around music. And the more I did that with the college age kids, I didn't puke forever, right? But I was only serving once a month. So you didn't have a lot of, but the more I would do it just in the smaller space and love it and see people love it. And then I started to get this little context for like, God's talking to me while I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't get that developed until we got to Columbus a year later. But so there's just a lot clicking at one time. And I just kept doing the next thing.
Yeah. And again, it's like so many of these stories, there's components of this that isn't up to you, right? Like
a lot.
So to be in a church that's actually growing and trying.
Oh, totally.
And has ways for people to be involved. I mean, there's, it's really important even for leaders to consider if they're listening right now, there could be an Annabeth sitting in your room who doesn't really know what to do. But is willing to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be an opportunity to do so. There has to be a way to show up. There has to be a way to try. And, and they might be good. They might not be great right away. But they don't, and they're not even sure they want to do it. But they're like, I guess I'll come.
Totally.
And that's creating a context where people are trying things. Because then someone else says, Steve Jones says, hey, like maybe you could
help with
come
this.
Do this with me. And you're like, okay. And then what I love about hearing what you're describing is it's not like a fully developed scheme of like, how do we build a worship pastor? It's, I don't know, we do stuff and we help people join. And if they're pretty good and they want to keep going, we do another thing and then we do another thing. That's a orientation of leadership. That's like just a way of being a leader. And it helps that church is growing really fast at that time.
Mm-hmm. Really fast.
Yeah, Fred, who's a pastor, is an evangelist, so he's like, there's a lot of flexibility. Things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really cool. But it's chicken and the egg. Like, is it growing? Is it because it's growing you have opportunities? Or are there opportunities and that's why it grows? I mean, like, I think
it's both at the same time.
But they feed each other.
They do.
You have to keep saying.
You have to keep saying.
We're
going to
build another group of folks. We're going to create another space. We're going to try another thing. That's really cool. Okay, so you're accelerating through that. Now you're serving. You're doing different stuff, mm-hmm. and then you end up in Columbus. You were saying.
Yeah,
so
we got moved because of Kyle's studies.
Right.
And then I had heard that there was a thing called Columbus Vineyard. It was big, mm-hmm. and so I just asked if I could meet with their worship pastor before I even moved there, Michael Hansen. And he was gracious enough to make space. But here's the thing. When he made space for me, I didn't leave that room going, so I'm going to be on the stage and I'm going to do that. I just wanted to know the area that I loved, which was worship. And
somehow he meets with you. Again, available, let's try stuff.
Yes. And honestly, he doesn't meet with me and go, okay, so you'll start serving when you show up here. He's like, we'll get here and then get settled. And I did. And I worked at Starbucks full time. I mean, it wasn't like a big career moment for me.
Right.
And then he followed up with me. I followed up with him. I said, hey, I'm here now and I'm working at Starbucks.
Wow.
And he said, well, let's talk about worship again. And then he actually sat down and was like, let's play the guitar together. So he did a little more of the like.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Yeah. Right. And then it was very clear, Annabeth is shy in music. I barely could hold the guitar, much less sing and do all the things. And so he put me on a worship team on their Saturday night service once a month. But I helped lead there.
You'd sing backing up, or would you lead?
I would lead out vocally some. But I didn't choose the songs. And then Eric Pickerel was usually scheduled for Saturday nights to serve because of a staff pastoral role, because he ran this thing called Joshua House.
Yep.
And he grabbed Rich, I guess, and said, that girl's mine. I want her.
Right.
And he was like, why would she do this anyway? She's only, I was 23, you know?
Yeah.
And so my husband and I, our service became Joshua House. We would go to church on Sunday nights. And sadly, he put me in so fast. I remember thinking, I've got to get a guitar strap because I don't ever play the guitar standing. Wow. I only sit the week before I was leading for the first time in J House. I mean, it was very nice.
So you've never really even led a band, really?
I felt like an imposter, Jay. Like I was sweating.
Like, I don't know what the drummer should
say
do.
To the drummer.
Yeah,
right. But the Lord was so gracious. I still can tell you who those people were, but I don't know if they were just so much better than me, or if it was like, it's okay.
I'll do my part. Go ahead. Yeah, right.
I knew nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's trial by fire. You're just doing all the things. And Joshua isn't exactly small.
It was 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's like a real room.
1,000 people. I was
You're just up there doing your thing.
Doing my thing.
And meanwhile, you've probably come through a threshold or two of like, I guess I'm allowed to be a pastor.
Nope.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not until I got on staff. So within 6 months of living in Columbus, a role opened up in the worship community.
Right.
And the quickest version of this is I got down to the last three people.
Yeah.
And Michael chose this other man who was older and way more qualified to be his associate worship
pastor. Sure,
But they did this interview where you went to other people to interview. Uh-huh. And I happened to interview with a man named Steve Robbins.
Yep.
And he, for whatever reason, was like, God spoke to me during your interview. I needed an admin. And I really sadly said, you don't want me. I'm not administrative, which was true.
Right.
And he was like, I don't think that's why God spoke. And so I needed a job and it was full time. And and he's high up on that staff. I mean, he was running the whole thing with Rich.
Yep.
And so I got a 40-hour-a-week admin job.
Wow.
But what was cool was he was so generous. Like I would try to do the admin stuff and take care of his phone calls, his emails and all that stuff, those details. But then he would pull me into his office and give me books.
Yeah.
Webb's book, Rich's book on the
radical. Well, he realizes, you're like a learner. I can work with this.
And I gained theology about women in ministry within the first 6 months of being in that role.
Mm.
And then I'll never forget, like 3 months later, he said, you are blessing our church with worship. And I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. He said, I'm telling you, people are talking about how much they're blessed by you.
Wow.
So I'm going to pay and send you to a Vineyard worship event out of my VLI budget.
Great.
And I got more involved in the worship of the Vineyard that way.
Wow. Okay. So now you're thinking, maybe I could be a pastor. Maybe.
Yeah.
So tell me how it actually locks. Like, when are you like, this is what I think I'm going to do? What was the turn moment? Or was there a turn moment? Did you just kind of keep falling backward into it? And then one day you realize, I guess, so this is what I am.
I don't know if there was, it was kind of in between those two. So the turn moment would have been Kyle got sent to a residency in Texas. Mm-hmm. And instead of thinking that moment I should look for a pastor job, Vineyard pursued me and I worked for Vineyard Worship.
Yeah, there you go.
So I did that 4 years. Well,
you're good enough
4 years.
On a few stages are like, if she's around, we should.
Well, and Casey was like, I've recorded you. Your ears are great. Let me teach you technical things in the studio. Mm. So I became his production assistant. So I produced the podcast and tuned vocals and did all this hard work around production that didn't hit any of my people gifts, but gave me
a good skill set.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did that the whole time we were in Houston. Mm. But it was in Houston, I started serving at the Sugar Land Vineyard with Casey. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we would be building sets. And I'm like, while I was doing that, God was saying this. And then I'd be standing in front of the church and really risking, like, I feel like the Lord's doing this in the room. Mm. And then Casey would kind of pull me to the side and say, you're really pastoring the room.
Yeah.
This is pastoring the
different room. Gifts are different showing thing. Up. Right.
And I'm like, this is what I like. Mm-hmm. And I like the church a lot more. And I love you in the studio, but I don't want to be
in the music's fine, but I
don't
do
like
this.
To be in a room by myself. I'm too extroverted. Right. And so that was the turn, which is why when you and I intersected in that in that last year and a half there, I was kind of really discerning what was next, because Rich Nathan was asking me to come back to Columbus and be a pastor. And I thought, of course, that's the option. That's where I learned about pastoring.
Yep.
And then you know what you did.
Tell me what I did.
Well, you showed up and said, hey, I would love for you to pray about possibly moving to Denver. I would love, our church needs a worship pastor. And I've spoken to a few folks in the Vineyard, and your name has come up. And I remember—
It's way more direct than that. There were three, that's very gracious way. So that's actually not how it happened. There were three things happen in a row. One, Daniel and I saw you lead at some leader meeting in San
Columbus.
Diego. No, in San Antonio.
At
Sugarland is where it was.
Okay.
It was a small meeting.
Oh, the church planters meeting.
I don't know what it was.
It was.
It's a small meeting and you lead worship. And I look at Danielle and I go, that's the best worship leader in the Vineyard. There's no question. I was like, she's doing something different. And again, we love, Danielle and I love worship. We've been around people in the Joshua's experience where we would stay up all night, like, worshiping, praying. It was like a really spirit-led feel.
Yes.
You know, I didn't cut my teeth in like doing cool church worship ministry. No, I was like in small in houses and in nights of worship. And in Joshua's even like, we would go hours late, you know, like who cares? So that was like, there was a way that I knew how worship could feel that I didn't really see very often. You know what I mean? So I'm like, she's doing the thing. I know what that is. And then I was at the Joshua's reunion thing. That's the first time I think I actually interact with you.
You did. You came and prayed for me.
Yeah.
And read my mail. And I was like, can I reach out to you again? Because that was the most encouraging I've felt, because we were stuck in Corpus.
That's exactly right.
For the year.
So you're leading and I'm like, wait a minute. She still has all the things she had last time I saw her. But the Lord's doing something with her. She's being sifted in a particular way.
Do you remember what you said to me?
I think I said, the wood is being dried out like tinder.
You did, and you said it's sitting on a beach. And I was like, this is too accurate. I'm littering Corpus.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the beach but me a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've never felt more dry and I'm staring at water. I mean, that's what was so prophetic about it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the Lord.
Yeah.
And and I remember, and so in other words, this is not, you didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. This isn't demonic. This is preparing you for something. Mm-hmm. So pray for you and that happens.
Yep.
And then our church is growing and we weren't cultivating the right feel for worship and the kind of ministry of the Spirit we felt called to. And I was just so, so frustrated. I'm not a musician. I don't know how to do that. But I knew what we had to be. And I'm like, this is terrible. And they're good people. All good people. Nobody's doing anything wrong. It's just we're not building the thing. And I was sitting with Rick Olmsted and I was like, Rick, our church is growing. We're not who we're supposed to be. I know it. And I don't know how to, I can't lead a thing I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to lead that. But I know it's supposed to be. And he's like, well, Jay, at some point as a leader, you're allowed to just go ask for what you want. You just go get it. Mm. And it had never occurred to me. I'd only built leaders from our church.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, that's like a really helpful thought. Like I could just go ask somebody to come be with us. And he's like, yeah. I go, well, what do you mean? How do you do that? You just call them? He's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You literally just call them and ask them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just anybody? He's like, yeah, you could just do that. No, seriously.
Just anybody.
And I was like,
good old Tennessee Annabeth.
Well, there's one person that I've seen over all these years that I know we would want. Do you think I can just ask? And he's like, you just should do that. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I remember I sent you a Facebook message.
You did.
Because I didn't have your phone number.
I'm the guy that prayed for you.
Yeah. I didn't have your phone number. I didn't even know where you were living.
Yeah. I remember. Because I was like, oh, I remember you for sure.
No, it's like, I don't even know where you live.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're not even doing worship. I don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just wrote you. And you're like, that'd be great. And then it was at the conference, the
worship leaders,
the worship leaders retreat
at Estes Park,
and they just asked me to speak, which I'd never spoken at anything really to the Vineyard. No, really, I hadn't. I'd just not done a lot.
Huh?
I'm just at local.
I don't think I knew that.
Well, I think they did it because I was local.
Yeah, and they couldn't afford to fly.
Exactly, for real. I'm dead serious. I think that's literally all it was.
They didn't know how good you were, Jay.
They're like, come on up, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. Like, I go up to Estes. I'd love to do that. And you're like, I'm going to be at this thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, this could work. Yeah, and so all the. Which again is really important for leaders to think about. Like, you're allowed to ask for what you want. You're allowed to just try things.
Yeah.
And again, if you're just starting, you can't do a lot of that stuff.
No.
But as you're growing, you can be like, we have some needs and I know what we're trying to do and let's just go get that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And I remember even me when I was thinking,
there's no way.
This is not going to happen. Because then immediately you're like, well, my husband's training. And
maybe a year and a half.
He would have to go to a program, and the odds of him getting to a one in Denver is like really low. And and I remember even sitting there thinking, oh, well,
never mind.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, but if it worked, that'd be great, but probably isn't going to. And then that's when I think the next time I talked to him, he was like, oh, I heard this talk from you when you taught at a Joshua's retreat. Somebody gave me a recording of you.
Steve did.
Steve Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And he says, and God spoke to me, one day you're going to be a part of that guy's church. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? That was like years ago. It was kind of a weird thing. Yeah, like, and it was just it was our hometown thing. You know, first of all, why would you have that recording? Second, why would you think that thought? Mm-hmm. And then here we are. So that was the first time I thought, oh.
Maybe the Lord.
This really could be God. This isn't just like. This would be a cool idea.
Yeah.
And then click, 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 click.
A lot of clicks.
Yeah.
Over the next 18 months.
Yeah, like houses and things and how can any of this happen?
Yeah. And even like a guy in Sugarland Vineyard that we didn't know very well saying, I had a dream and there was a map and it was Colorado and you had these three dots and Kyle's like, can you draw it? Because Kyle's, he loves prophetic things, but he's kind of a literal guy. And he drew it and Kyle was like, I can't even describe this to you. That map is exactly, these are the three job offers I have in Denver. Right. And you're just confirming again for my wife, to be honest with you, because of how bad off my family was, I'm like, Columbus is better because you can drive down to Tennessee quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Denver is like the Wild West. I mean, this is far, you know, but I gave in to the Lord finally.
Yeah. Well, and it's been great and hard and
15 years, bro.
Amazing.
We've been doing this.
Yeah. And again, in watching you and all those, and really before us, but as it continues, your heart wasn't just for our church, though it is for our church.
Yes.
But for the whole Vineyard, for the way worship works. And then to see what our church has been able to do to serve the Vineyard. Those were all things that weren't really real then.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we had done, actually, I think the first cause I had you come lead worship.
Before.
That was the first time we'd done anything for the Vineyard.
Like wow.
Literally the very first thing.
Okay.
Because we're just this little, I mean, who are we?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe we could do a church planting thing and maybe people will come. I thought nobody's going to come to this. It was ram full of people.
Yes.
And you led the worship. And so that was the first time I was like, oh, maybe we could help like the Vineyard.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, there's Fort Collins Vineyard and there's Grand Junction and there's Kansas City that's all in our region and there's Smoky Hill Vineyard. These are all like real churches. We're this kind of hodgepodge made up thing in Denver. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess we're going to help the vineyard. And then you enter in that window.
Yeah. Well, you said something to me at that trip. You said, hey, listen, I don't know if you know this, but if you choose to move here, God's not going to ask you to give up all the relationship you have in heart for the whole vineyard.
Yes.
And I was like, that meant a lot to me because I didn't want to give that up.
No, and it felt like the Lord. Okay, so we do all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now tell me a little of what is your heart for the vineyard worship now. Let's land there.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're moving into different roles, doing different things for vineyard worship. You have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've been writing. We're producing out of our church, but also for the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at where the vineyard worship is now, let's land there. What's in your heart for what God is doing in this thing called the vineyard for worship?
Honestly, it's really simple. It's strengthening worship in the local church. Mm. And it doesn't matter if that means it's 50-person church plant or it's 6,000, a larger vineyard for us, however big or small. Worship is such an integral public part of the church. Like the Bible is clear about when you gather, what do? You sing songs and spiritual songs. You take communion. You teach the Bible. So worship is part of that.
Yeah.
That mandate of what it means to be the church, worship's a big part of it. So it means that whatever it takes, you need to have a worship person. Yeah. And they're going to be varying levels. I mean, if you saw me lead worship back in Kansas City, it's not the same as it is now, right? They're going to grow. But the point is we need pathways for those people to grow.
Yes.
And so even just the thought of like telling the person, hey, when I started to give my life away to the worship leader, my first invested worship leader, I barely knew how to hold the guitar.
Right.
But because I just said, oh, I'm going to turn around and teach the thing I've just been taught, the Lord was like, I'm going to take it and multiply it. If you'll just keep giving away what you learned to the next person and the next person, I don't know. This may be discouraging, but we forget to do that in worship a lot.
Yes.
We've made worship a lot about like how much bigger of a platform we can get or a song that's more impactful for the whole church. And nobody's listening to me. And
the production, definitely tilts.
It does. And so I think my big dream for the vineyard is pretty simple, that every church would say, I have at least one thriving worship leader that's connected to our values of loving the scripture, of having an empowered prayer life. And I'd love all of our worship leaders to feel like they have confidence in this, in the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, a big part that we don't have time for is my formation and feeling like you can pray and see sick people healed and prophecy and deliverance. Yeah. That's not like Annabas special. That's access for anybody to learn those sort of gifts. And they marry very well with musical worship.
Yes.
You know? And so, but that's the pastoral side of worship. I want all of our worship leaders to feel like I could become a pastor. They don't have to be a full-time pastor. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a vocation. But I just want to see them trained and equipped. And I think when you have strong worship leaders in general, they start to crave that creative thing.
Yes.
So that element of songs that Vineyard Worship, it is. It's been a music label. It does care about the songs we sing. These healthy churches will start to want to create their songs. And but it's a secondary emerging.
Yes.
If you have people going like, well, I'm just trying to make it in the music industry, but I'll do some worship too. It's not terrible.
It's a
different thing. And so I want to see us equip the saints for the worship works of ministry with worship and then the fruit of it be songs. And there's the saying from the church for the church. I think everything we do should come from the church and then serve the church. So the songs should come from the church and they should serve the church. The worship pastors should be raised up within the church and then they should serve the church. This is not just worship. This is everywhere. Everybody.
Yeah, and I think the thing that, at least in our time getting to work together, that I've appreciated about you the most is your willingness to grow as a leader, not just a worship leader.
Mm.
To grow emotionally, relationally, pastorally. Because if someone hears the story you just described, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of stuff there that has to get worked out somehow. That doesn't just get zapped.
No.
And as the scriptures say, we comfort out of the comfort we've received. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to give away what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting that work done isn't like ancillary or secondary or somehow independent
no.
from the way that those gifts move through you. So your commitment to saying, I'm going to keep working on my life. I'm going to keep connecting to other people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep being aware of how the Holy Spirit is trying to minister to me mm-hmm. in healing so that I can bring healing to other people fuels the way all the other creative stuff works.
It's true.
But that requires a particular kind of commitment that I'm really grateful mm-hmm. I've seen out of you and that I have faith will continue to be replicated in the whole vineyard.
I do too, because you guys have put together some really beautiful things that I believe in, like emotionally focused and mm-hmm. even emotionally healthy spirituality stuff. Yeah. And not just the emotional health world, the spiritual disciplines world,
yep.
the soul care, yep. the, you know, I have a spiritual director. I mean,
yeah.
and I look forward to any person that God gives me the grace to lead, sharing the holistic view of life. Like these are all a part of it. It's all a part of it. And you may create a beautiful song because you did the deep work of emotional health.
Yeah.
There's a good chance you will, because some of your best songs come from the places you've probably been a little shy to go to with the Lord.
So. Well, I'm really grateful for your investment in our church, of course, and in our movement. But
thanks.
And I do think it means the best is yet to come.
Let it be, Lord. Hear Jay's prayer.
Amen.
Best is yet to come.
Grateful for you.
Thanks, Jay. I love working with you.
Everyone gets to play. Naturally supernatural. The main and the plain. If you're a vineyard person, you've been hearing phrases like this for a long time. Some of you have said them from stage. But if someone stopped you in a parking lot and asked you what one of them actually meant, you might need a second. That's not a memory problem. That's just what happens to a movement's language over time. It becomes shorthand. It's how we talk to one another. But you need these phrases not just to be memorable, but to hold weight, to carry meaning and story for you. Heart of the Vineyard is an 8-part video resource to help you with this. It's a series of short talks and conversations with people who know and love the Vineyard and want to help you and your church get stronger. It's coming this fall to vineyardusa.org/grow. What if discipling the next generation of girls could also bring every generation of women in your church together? That's what's happening through Vessels. Vessels helps churches launch clubs for girls in 3rd through 6th grade, helping girls discover the truth about their identity through biblical teaching, crafts, jewelry, music, and plenty of fun. But here's what makes Vessels really special. Women from 18 to 80 serve side by side, building relationships across generations as they invest in the next one. And something beautiful happens. As women remind girls who God says they are, they're being reminded of those same truths themselves. Vessels is growing in churches across the country, and we'd love to bring it to yours. And if you're headed to a Vineyard regional meetup this fall, look for the Vessels booth. We'd love to meet you. Learn more at www.godsvessels.com. Do you ever feel just scattered? Whether you're an established church or just starting out, Planning Center helps you connect every ministry and sync every detail, from volunteer schedules and kids check-ins to donations and event signups. Then you can feel at ease knowing things are in their right place. Get started for free today at planningcenter.com. The We Are Vineyard podcast is a production from the team at Vineyard USA. If you've been enjoying the podcast, leave us a review on YouTube or the podcast platform of your choice. Connect with us online for additional resources. Our website is vineyardusa.org, and we're on Instagram and Facebook at Vineyard USA. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.